All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this Friday morning, it is our good friend, Mr. Bill Melberg. Sir, how are you?
Well, good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Yep.
And hello, ESPN Radio and Sunny listeners.
Bill, today is May 3rd, and yesterday and the day before, it was snowing in Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yes, Stevie and Diane here in the upper Midwest, as well as in northern Europe and across Russia. We've had a long, cold, snowy winter, followed by a long, cold, and snowy spring. But speaking of Russia, Wednesday was May Day, or International Workers' Day, as it's also known. Yes. Socialists around the world, including Russia, where the first socialist state was born in 1917, celebrated May Day with parades and protests and the Internationale, the unofficial theme song of the International Socialist Workers Movement. And given the advance of socialism around the globe, I thought today would be a good day to present another episode of Mr. Bush's Neighborhood. Because at the end of our last episode, when Mr. Bush talked about lemonade stands and free enterprise and capitalism, he promised to teach us about socialism in the next episode.
Well, Bill, you're referring to your proposed Republican television program, Mr. Bush's Neighborhood, a series designed to reach America's so-called low-information voters who don't know the difference between capitalism and socialism.
That's right, Stevie. Mr. Bush's Neighborhood is designed to reach the younger generation and some people in the older generation as well in order to give them a basic understanding of basic economics. And since former President George H.W. Bush sounds so much like the late Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, we asked George Bush to be the host, and he's back again this morning to take us to the land of make-believe, where we'll learn all about the wonders and glories of socialism. So without further ado, let's start show two of Mr. Bush's Neighborhood. Morning, boys and girls. I'm Mr. Bush, and welcome once again to my upscale Republican suburban neighborhood. As I slip on my Izod sweater and my Sperry topsider shoes, let me ask you a question, boys and girls. Can you say socialism? I knew you could. But you've probably heard your teachers at school describe it as progressivism. No matter what you call it, we're going to learn about socialism today. And we're going to learn about it with the help of King Stevie the 13th and Lady Diane Ducey in the land of make-believe. And here comes the trolley to take us there. Land of make-believe. And there he is, King Stevie the 13th. Good morning, Your Highness.
Is that you, Mr. Bush?
Correct as usual, Your Majesty. And I see that Lady Diane Ducey is joining us as well. Good morning, Your Ladyship.
Good morning, Mr. Bush. Are the boys and girls ready to learn about socialism?
Yes, we all are, Lady Diane, including their mommies and their daddies and King Stevie the 13th.
Wait a minute. What, pray tell, is socialism?
If you give me a chance to speak, Your Majesty, I will tell you. Socialism is going to bring fairness to the land of make-believe.
Fairness? What do you mean by
fairness.
I mean, we're abolishing your male-dominated autocracy monarchy and replacing it with socialist people republic. Power to the people. Workers of the world, unite.
Lady Diane, if I may interject, could you be a little more specific?
Don't call me Lady Diane. I don't believe in class distinctions. From now on, you can call me Comrade Diane. As far as being more specific is concerned, let me read a few quotations about socialism. One of the most democratic republics in the world is the United States of America, yet nowhere is the power of capital and the power of a handful of millionaires and billionaires so crude, so openly corrupt as in America.
Who said that? Barack Obama?
No, Vladimir Lenin said it. And here's another quote. In America, the power of capital is everything. The power of the stock market is everything. And the politicians they buy off are just puppets.
Who said that? Barack Obama?
No, Vladimir Lenin said it. And listen to this. The lion's share of all the wealth produced in capitalist countries goes to the millionaires and billionaires. But under socialism, the wealth goes to the people and the results in a greater standard of living for the working man and working woman.
Who said that? Barack Obama?
No, Mikhail Gorbachev, the former president of former Soviet Union. And here's one more. The time has come for millionaires and billionaires to pay their fair share.
Who said that? Mikhail Gorbachev?
No, Barack Obama.
But Comrade Diane, I'd like to know, just how does socialism work? How will you raise everybody's standard of living?
Redistribution, Mr. Bush, redistribution. We redistribute the wealth from the millionaires and billionaires to the common people. That way, everything is fair, because everyone is equal.
So, Comrade Diane, what you're saying is that if some boys and girls get straight A's in school, and other boys and girls get straight F's, the boys and girls with the A's should redistribute their grades to the boys and girls who get F's, so that everyone will get C's and everyone will be equal.
Wait a minute. Let me think about that.
Well, you can think about this while you're thinking about that. If we were working for a moving company and I carried all the light furniture all day and you carried all the heavy furniture all day, we should both get the same pay at the end of the day, because even though you worked harder, everybody is equal, so everybody should be paid the same. Isn't that right, comrade?
I'm not sure if that's fair.
Well, how about this example? Let's say you start a small business. You work very, very hard. You don't take any vacations. You don't go down there to Florida. You don't go out there to that Hawaii place. You don't go up there to Massachusetts to that whole Hyannis thing. You invest your own money. You take risks, big risks. You work double time and overtime without any extra time, and your business succeeds. But you did not build that business. The government built that business. Just listen to President Obama.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
But Lady Diane?
But that's not right. I built my business, not the government.
Lady Diane Ducey, welcome back. I have a feeling that you're about to abandon the make-believe land of socialism and rejoin the rest of us in the real world.
Correct as usual, Your Majesty. And thank you, Mr. Bush, for saving me from that socialist foolishness.
My pleasure, Your Ladyship. Now, boys and girls, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Let that be a lesson to you, boys and girls, because some politicians talk about fairness. They talk about going after the millionaires and billionaires, and some politicians promise you everything for free. But remember this, there's no such thing as a free lunch unless you're in the socialist land of make-believe. So now, let's return to the real world of free enterprise, the world of freedom and opportunity. One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all.
And there you have it, another episode of Mr. Bush's Neighborhood from the new GOP-TV. When we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will bring us an example of the sort of comedy shows we could expect to hear on Republican television. So stay tuned to ESPN Radio 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3.
Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes the world go round, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound. A mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound. Is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money, 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 money.
If you happen to be rich and you feel like a nice entertainment, you can pay for the escapades. If you happen to be rich and alone. And
ESPN Radio, the new Sunny 95.3. I am Stevie J. We have our Wall Street Journal coming up in a few moments. Bill Melberg is still... Bill, we're having all kinds of technical difficulties with some of our stuff. So we appreciate you still being there. Are you still there, Bill?
I'm here.
Okay. We enjoyed our Mr. Bush's Neighborhood.
Yeah.
That was a good lesson, I think, for...
I wonder what Mr. Bush will talk about the next time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
That was Joel Gray, by the way.
It was. Yeah, I said Liza Minnelli, who Brother Johnny sat in front of on the Concorde about 20 years ago.
Well, we did. We were even closer than that to Joel Gray.
Yeah, no, Bill Melberg opened for Joel Gray at the Assembly Hall at whatever year that was. Bill, what year was that?
1910, was it?
Yeah, might have been. we'll talk some more here and conclude our program in just a matter of moments. Here on the radio, it's ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th, so light up your mother's heart. Let her know you appreciate and love her with a beautiful Mother's Day floral arrangement from the Blossom Basket Florist. Check out our exclusive Mother's Day designs online at blossombasket.com. Have flowers delivered Monday through Thursday of Mother's Day week and receive a free dozen roses in July. Wow, free roses! From simple to simply magnificent, the Blossom Basket Florist in Urbana on North Cunningham Avenue. Call 367-7673. And in Champaign at Village at the Crossing, call 359-7673.
Shelby Motors is pleased to sponsor baseball again for 2013. There will be lots of excitement at the ballpark this year, and there's a lot of excitement at Shelby Motors, your local Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram dealer. What's more exciting than the 2013 Motor Trend Truck of the Year, Ram 1500? How about the 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee or the fuel-saving Dodge Dart? Need to get the whole family to the game? Do it in a new Chrysler Town & Country or Dodge Grand Caravan. We've got you covered at Shelby Motors.
Homemade, made from scratch breakfast. You'll find it at the new Louis Dixie Kitchen. Enjoy traditional favorites like hotcakes, French toast or biscuits and gravy, or try some traditional Southern favorites like the Dixie Kitchen Eggs Benedict or the Sea Cake Benedict. Louis Dixie Kitchen also has fresh homemade beignets, a New Orleans favorite, or try one of the strudels that are made fresh daily. It's homemade, made from scratch breakfast at Louis Dixie Kitchen in Urbana.
Hey, it's Louis the Alligator. Come see us for breakfast sometime.
Hi, this is Habib, CEO of BPC, and this is your Motivational Minute. A wonderful trend of fitness has been sweeping the nation, and it's terrific to see so many people caring about their body, improving their health, and reducing the need for some medication. Caring enough to invest in your body is an admirable trait, and I applaud you if you have chosen to do so. Let me encourage you to take one step further and invest in your mind. What enters your mind determines your level of accomplishment, achievement, and success. And these motivational minutes have been my way of filling your mind with good thoughts to help you thrive and achieve. Now you have a chance to do so for more than just a minute a day. You can do it for a whole day. We are pleased to be the title sponsor of Chick-fil-A's LeaderCast on May 10th in Champaign, when we will come together for a one-day leadership event featuring a live broadcast of prominent speakers such as Jack Welch, Condoleezza Rice, and John Maxwell. This is a great investment in your mind. Join me for that terrific event by registering at HabibHabib.com and using the promotional code Habib. I hope to see you there.
Diane, let's check your three-day forecast from the National Weather Service.
Like rain today, tomorrow, the next day. High 68 today, down to 53. Another chance of showers. High 61 tomorrow, down to 49. 67 on Sunday with another chance of rain. Sun comes out Monday and Tuesday. Right now we're at 48. ESPN 93.5, sunny 95.3.
And we'll come back and conclude with our political humorist and satirist Bill Melberg here on the radio. It is Friday. The Herd coming up after 9 on ESPN 93.5. And sunny, 95.3, soft rock favorites from then and now. That begins after 9 as well. Some great songs lined up. Cubs baseball later today on sunny. 12:45 pregame, 120 with the Reds on sunny, 95.3. Cardinals play tonight, 6:15 in Milwaukee, 7:10 first pitch right here. 10 before 9 on ESPN and sunny.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Stocks are rallying. The Dow Industrial's up 147 at 14,978. The NASDAQ is up 41. The S&P 500 up 17, trading at a record high. James Gall, a Boston advisor, says the market's getting a lift from news that 165,000 jobs were created in April, and the unemployment rate edged down to 7.5%.
About 25,000 better. And it incorporated an upward revision from last month's numbers, which were pretty negative and had given the market a little bit of a swoon.
Shares of LinkedIn down 9%. Quarterly profit more than quadrupled, but there are signs of slowing growth at the professional social network. Weight Watchers shares up 7%. Quarterly profit fell 11%. That was better than expected. So much for good neighbors. A new study of home prices finds that buyers will pay a premium to live in open, undeveloped land. Homes in conservation developments where 50 to 70% of land is open space sold better. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Amy and Susie's Lemonade Stand. Maybe you heard of it? No? Anyway, my daughters run it. I tried to tell them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It really helped my small business, GoTime Fitness. The templates are easy to use and customizable, so they look like my business.
Dad, we're not getting any customers.
That's okay, honey. They'll come. Yeah, they're not coming.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create professional emails that look great and keep customers coming back. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Why does business manager Mike Davis stay at La Quinta Inns and Suites? Because only with La Quinta's instant hold can Mike reserve a room at the last minute with just one finger and his phone number. And the next day during his business review, you know what he does?
Ladies and gentlemen, the stylings of Mike Davis.
Sales forecast for this quarter look good. Up 20% like you knew that they would.
He gets everyone jazzed up. La Quinta takes care of you so you can take care of business. Instant hold at LQ.com today.
We are back with political humorist Bill Melberg. And Bill, you've given us another preview of the children's programming that we might see on a new Republican television channel. What sort of comedy shows would we expect to see?
Well, Stevie and Diane, even though it would be the Republican television network, you probably would not be seeing the Mitt Romney comedy hour. Mitt just really wasn't much of a comedian when it comes right down to it. Sense of humor was a little lacking. However, you might see some Ronald Reagan reruns, and here's one that relates to this morning's theme about socialist economics.
I've been collecting stories that are told in the Soviet Union by their people among themselves, which reveal they've got a great sense of humor, but they've also got a pretty cynical attitude toward their system. And I told this one, Bill, you'll have to hear it again. I told it in the car. I didn't tell this one to Gorbachev. You know, there's a 10-year delay in the Soviet Union of delivery of an automobile. And only one out of seven families in the Soviet Union own automobiles. There's a 10-year wait. And you go through quite a process when you're ready to buy, and then you put up the money in advance. And this happened to a fella, and this is their story that they tell, this joke. That this man, he laid down his money, and then the fella that was in charge said to him, okay, come back in 10 years and get your car. And he said, morning or afternoon? And the fella behind the counter said, well, 10 years from now, what difference does it make? And he said, well, the plumber's coming in the morning.
I think that's my all-time favorite Ronald Reagan Soviet joke. And he had a lot of good ones, Bill, but that's his classic.
Well, that's probably my second favorite. And I guess we have time to tell the...
Sure.
My number one favorite, I'll tell it as Ronald Reagan.
Okay, good.
All right. Hello, Diane. Hello, Ray. All right, well, there's an American and a Russian arguing about who has more... Now, this, by the way, has to be the old Soviet Union days, but it probably applies to today, too.
Yeah.
Anyhow, here we... Back to the joke. There's an American and a Russian arguing about who has more freedom, people in the Soviet Union or people in the United States. And the American says, well, you know, anytime I want, I can go to Washington, D.C., I can stop by at the White House. I can arrange a meeting with President Reagan. I can march into his office in the White House. I can pound my fist on the table, and I can say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running this country. And the Russian said, well, I can do that. And the American said, you can? He said, why, sure. Anytime I want, I can go to Moscow. I can stop by the Kremlin. I can arrange to meet President Gorbachev. I can march into his office. I can pound my fist on the table and say, President Gorbachev, I don't like the way President Reagan is running his country.
I tell you what, you had a chance to talk with... Ronald Reagan, and he was who he was, right? I mean, this guy was so personable, wasn't he?
He certainly was. Actually, I had several opportunities to meet him at the White House because a friend of mine had a good position there, which brought him into touch with the president every day. So we had some fun there, and actually, I performed for a couple of. Little events there at the White House, but
did Ronald Reagan ever see you do him?
Yes, he did. And in fact, the first time I met him was at the White House, and he walked up to me. I was pretty nervous, as you might imagine, and he walked up to me and put his arm around me and smiled and said, "Well, if it isn't Ronald Reagan, I feel as though I've known you my whole life."
Oh, that
got me laughing.
Yeah.
Put me at ease immediately.
And then didn't you do some Jimmy Carter in front of Nancy, and didn't she love that?
Yes, she did. I don't know if she really laughed when I did her husband, but when I started doing Jimmy Carter, she thought that was very funny. I see you've painted the place since I was here.
Nice.
We did have fun one day because my friend Fred reported to Donald Regan, who was Ronald Reagan's chief of staff. And we were in the just outside the Oval Office one afternoon, and Donald Regan was... Oh, excuse me. We were actually just outside Donald Regan's office. And Fred was in talking with him and had me outside, just outside the office say, "Oh, I see Don's busy with Fred. I'll come back later." And I said it loud enough so Regan heard it. He comes rushing out of his office and looks around. Where is he? And I said, "Where is who?" He said, "The president." I don't know. I think he just ducked back out the door. And Regan looked at me and said, "You're the guy. You're the guy I've heard about you." Yeah.
Well, how many times did you visit the White House, you know?
Oh, probably at least a half a dozen times.
Wow, so, how cool is that? I mean, was it, you know, obviously pretty neat to walk around the White House.
And to have lunch there. And,
wow.
And it was. And it was a great honor, as well as a great thrill and a lot of fun. But the one thing I really noticed was that, starting with the president himself, the people had a good sense of humor and could poke fun at themselves and were not necessarily taking themselves all that seriously just because they worked in the White House.
Yeah.
So there was a little humility there, which started at the top, and that was good to see.
Yeah, and a lot of people work at the White House?
About half of them.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Which is another Reagan line.
Yeah.
How many people work for the government? About half of them.
Yeah. Awesome, great.
But I'll tell you one other quick thing.
Yeah.
There was an office there, which a big office, which took care of letters that the president would get from, you know, people all across the country, and a smaller office, which read the hardship letters, people who were really down and out in their luck. Some people might have needed organ transplants or one thing or another, and the president took a personal interest in those, and every weekend he would dictate letters in response to some of these people, and oftentimes he'd write a personal check and put it in the envelope to send to those people.
Wow.
The White House never publicized that because the president couldn't afford to send money to everybody.
Right.
Ronald Reagan was a very generous man who really did care about people.
Imagine getting a check signed Ronald Reagan, too. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, that was one problem, is that people often did not cash checks. They framed
them. Keep them, yeah. Bill, we thank you, buddy. We really do. Thanks so much for your time and talent every Friday. We appreciate you.
Oski
Wawa. Oski Wawa. Bill Melberg and eveningwiththepresidents.com is where you can find him. This is WSJK Tuscola, WJEK Rantoul. Diane, have a great weekend.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. Good